Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
Every now and then I see a headline, and Scott sent me this one. But the headline is interesting because although it's an intriguing concept, the question is this news? Because stuff like this happens a lot, and there's no laws that address this in the way that many people think there are. So if nothing else, we'll talk about it just to clear up some confusion. But the headline is, man unknowingly moves into apartment where a murder took place just months before. And Lauren Martinez and Andrew McMunn wrote this. Out of Las Vegas, a man just moved into an apartment in northwest Las Vegas. But after he moved in, he learned it was the site of a murder just a few months ago. So the man was scouring the internet looking for a good deal on an apartment. He's got roommates, and so the three of them were hoping to find a good place the three of them could stay. He found a three-bedroom unit starting at $1,600, and they signed the lease and moved in on June 1st. So he said, when I moved in and unloaded my stuff, several neighbors stopped him and said, do you know what happened here? Do you want to move in? So on move-in day, neighbors told him a young woman had been murdered in that very same unit. So he said, I'm feeling really frustrated. I never expected this. When he went to management and asked about it, he said he was told they had no obligation to inform him if he did not specifically ask. Is there a law that says they have to tell you if someone is murdered in that apartment? So Las Vegas real estate agent Megan Foley told KVVU about the state's disclosure laws, and according to Nevada law, we do not have to disclose if it was a homicide or a suicide. However, we would have to disclose if it had been used to manufacture meth or if there was a death related to meth, believe it or not. So real estate attorney Elizabeth Ashley said there's more duty on the buyer's part to investigate a property. She recommends checking with neighbors before moving in and asking them about what they like and dislike about living there. Now, there's a woman who lives in the apartment unit directly under the unit where the woman was murdered. And she says she's brought to tears bringing up what she and her husband heard the night that happened. She said management never checked in on her, but officers did. They asked to see her apartment as they were doing the investigation. And so a lot of people knew about what happened because the police had investigated and knocked on doors of neighboring units. The woman said it was important to her to let her new neighbor know about the incident. I don't think you should just move a person into an apartment complex with them not knowing or aware of a situation like that, she said. For the state's legal requirements for any sale, lease, or rental, you can visit the state's website. Nevada's got all the information online. And so here's the question. Some of you are saying, Steve, why would you know anything about this? Well, I wrote a book called American Murder Houses. American Murder Houses is available wherever fine books are sold. I do not have any copies right now other than my own personal copy, so I apologize. A lot of my books I do sell, but right now I don't have any extras of this. But I wrote a book called American Murder Houses, and I talk about famous homes, notorious houses of homicide. And it's the homes that people go gawk at because, ooh, a murder took place there. And it could be the Lizzie Borden house or, you know, whatever. So there's 25 or 26 homes described in that book. But at the very end of the book, I have a chapter in there about what happens to murder houses later with respect to sales and the legalities of it, because I am, after all, an attorney. And so a lot of people just assume that there must be a law against selling a murder house without telling anybody. And I don't know why you'd think that, because generally speaking, there are almost no laws on this. Now, there are a couple states, and I mention them in the book, and I actually do lay all this stuff out in the book. But there were a couple court cases also, some very, very well-known court cases, where there was a person, I believe in the state of New York, who had a house that they said there'd been a murder taking place there, and it was haunted. And they used to actually give tours of the haunted house and talk about the murder history of the house. And later on, they sold the house and did not disclose any of that to the buyer. And the buyer went into court and said, they should have told me about the history of the house because they made money off the history of the house. I mean, it's just one of those things they can't claim they didn't know. And a court actually said, based on those facts, the seller should have disclosed. But there have been other cases. There's a famous case out of California where somebody moved into a house, and it turns out there'd been tragic murder there previously. And as the people are moving in, the neighbors come running breathlessly over and say, did you guys know the story of this house? And in that case, the question then becomes, what burden, what legal obligation does a seller have to disclose this information? And in a lot of states, the concept of misrepresentation comes in here, silent misrepresentation. So fraud is where I out and out tell you something that's false to get you to do something or mislead you, and it harms you. But if I don't speak, and I could have spoken, my failure to speak can be considered a form of misrepresentation, depends what state you're in. And silent misrepresentation is where I simply don't tell you something that I know you'd like to know if you knew it, but you don't know it, so how would you know? And so there are some states where you can go after somebody and say, you know darn well that if you told me the true history of this house, I either wouldn't have bought it or I'd pay less for it. So that's wrong. And some states say, yeah, you can go after somebody for that. But there are states that have codified this and actually created statutes that say, if a murder takes place in this house within a certain time frame, you must disclose it. But obviously, who cares if one happened 100 years ago, 8 owners ago? Does that matter? So they often put time frames on it. But one of the most interesting things is there are people out there who've studied this. Of course there are. And there are people who've studied the market for murder houses. And that is, if you had two identical houses in the exact same market, everything is equal except one of them had a murder in it 6 months ago and one of them did not. What is the difference? And there are people who've done papers on this, peer-reviewed papers on this with tons of data, who've drawn the conclusion that the murder house does not sell for less, not substantially. What happens is it's simply on the market longer, which is an economic impact. If you want to sell your house and you can sell it today or 6 months from now, you'd rather sell it now if you could, okay? And so the idea that they're on the market longer is a market impact by the home's history, but it does not lower the price. So the interesting thing is here a guy moves into an apartment. He's not even buying it. He's simply renting it. And the fact that he's moving into an apartment that he's renting where something like this took place, there ain't a whole lot he can do about that other than just, you know, get creeped out by it. One of the favorite things that I encountered when I was writing the book, I was doing the research on the legal aspects of it, and I found the opinion out of California. And one of the judges wrote in the opinion, because the case actually went through a couple different courts, one of the judges wrote an opinion and said, do you know what the most fascinating thing is about murder houses? Is that a home will have something happen like this at it. The owners will sell it and not tell anybody. Then the owners move out and the buyers move in. And while the moving trucks are still being unloaded, neighbors come running over to tell them what happened in the house. And that is so funny because that's what happens. And that I've heard that story or variations of it more than once, where somebody's moving into their dream home and the neighbor comes strolling over and goes, did you know what happened in this house? And it's like, could you have told me that a little while ago? But of course, they're not going to run over and interfere with every single prospect who's walking through the house. So it's a crazy story. Some people would get creeped out by it. And of course, the question is, if this apartment complex is obligated to tell people what took place in that apartment, and there's no law that says that in Nevada. So there you go. Man unknowingly moves into apartment where a murder took place just months before. Lauren Martinez and Andrew McMahon wrote that. Scott sent it to me. Thanks a lot. And like I mentioned, American Murder Houses, coast-to-coast tour of the most notorious houses of homicide. Let me see. Is there a picture of me in here? I'm trying to remember this one. I don't think there is. No, we got an About the Author, though. We got an About the Author, but no picture. What's up with that? Follow him on Twitter at Steve Leto. Questions or comments, put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. It's a wise thing to hold back.